Good morning, church. It's been a long time coming since I last preached. I think the last time I preached was October last year, so it's like 6 months ago. I'm a bit rusty, so please be gracious to me, yeah? And I need all your prayers, yeah? Okay, so today we are landed on 2 Samuel chapter 7. So if I ask you a question, what do you think is the most significant chapter or portion of the scripture or the Bible? The top 10, yeah? Name me some significant chapters. Resurrection, okay? Maybe some will say creation. Some will say, oh, Psalm 23 is my favorite psalm. Some will say John 3:16. Maybe that's the only verse you know, yeah? But nobody will ever say that 2 Samuel chapter 7 is a significant chapter in the Bible. But today, we are going to learn and we're going to know that truly, this is a very significant chapter in the whole Bible. So I've titled my sermon, Blessed Forever, and let me put it up straight to you. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel because the first slide, I don't have the clicker, maybe you can click for me. Okay, the first slide, where I got this title from is from this verse in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 29. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, sovereign Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forever. Amen. So that's where I got the title of my sermon. Bless here means two things, yeah? It means shalom, the peace of God, and it also means makarios, which is Greek for happy or joyful. And Pastor Isaac's second son is also named Makarios, or in short, Mac, yeah? So peace and joy is the blessing that we get from the Lord. And it will also be accompanied by material blessing. As we have seen, even in the case when the ark was taken to Jerusalem, it was brought in a cart at first, and Uzzah was struck dead because they were treating the sacred things of the Lord like the pagan kings. They put it on a cart, and that is not what they're supposed to do. And after that, David knew that that's not the right way to transport the ark to Jerusalem. So this time, the Levites carried the ark on their shoulders, and every six steps that they took, they sacrificed calves and bulls. And last week, if you heard the sermon from Pastor Sean and Pastor Isaac, I think Pastor Isaac did quantify, I think, I don't know how many millions, 20 over a million, yeah, and the blood of the calves and the bulls cost 20 over a million. And I told Pastor Isaac last week after he shared, I said, this reminded me of Jesus carrying the cross and walking the Via Dolorosa. That every blood that our Lord Jesus shed for you is indeed precious and you cannot quantify it. Yeah, we can quantify calves and bulls that we sacrifice, but the blood of Jesus cannot be quantified. And that is the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, let's go on to 2 Samuel 7. So read with me the next slide. So are you ready? 1, 2, 3. After the king was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in the tent. Nathan replied to the king, whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you. So David's desire to build a house for the Lord doesn't really surprise us, because he's, after all, a man after God's own heart. The king of Tyre has built a wonderful palace for King David, made of cedar wood. And here you can imagine he was maybe having tea looking beyond his balcony with the prophet Nathan, and he said, "Here I live in a palace made of cedar wood, but God is still living in a tent. How can that be?" Yeah, so without inquiring of the Lord, and this is the second time David and even the prophet Nathan did not inquire of the Lord. They were quite presumptuous. They say, "Let me build God a temple." So the first time when they were presumptuous with the ark, Uzzah was struck dead. And this time around, they also did not inquire of the Lord. And he said to Nathan, "Let me build God a temple." And Nathan also didn't inquire of the Lord. Nathan just told David, "Whatever is in your heart, do it, for the Lord is with you." So although the Lord was pleased with this intention, but it was not God's intention for David to build the temple, and we will see that later on. So for the Middle Eastern king, which David is a typical Near Eastern king in this regard, he wants to crown his achievements and his success with the building of a temple. So in those days, the building of a temple to a god is a very significant thing. As you can see from this table, this is the world system, the world religions. The king builds a temple for their god, small g. The temple make gods famous. Then the small g gods bless the kingdom. So this is very typical here, even in Malaysia. You know, some of you stay near shrines. So sometimes you see a shrine under a tree. It started off with just a small pondok. Yeah. So these people go to the pondok. They ask for four numbers. They go and empat nombor, you know, that kind of thing. Then the so-called deity blessed them. Then they build a bigger shrine. They build a bigger temple. And lo and behold, after a few years down the road, they say, why suddenly you got one temple here? You know? So that is how the world system operates. Yeah, but God's way is God tabernacles among us. God loves to be in the presence of his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. God wants our obedience. God will bless us when we obey him. So if you ever forget everything which I have shared today, later on I will show you a diagram on what all this means. Yeah, so God's prior command to Moses was to build a tabernacle for him, and he has never told the nation of Israel to build him a temple. So wherever the nation of Israel came, that's where the Lord was with them. So the Lord was with them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of cloud by night. And the Ark of the Covenant is a representation of the presence of God. So it was never the intention of God that he be placed in a permanent structure as in a temple. So God's presence would eventually dwell in a temple, but it was not David's role to assume God wanted him to build it. So God wanted David's obedience more than his tribute or sacrifice, which in turn will make David feel significant. So this reminds me of what happened with Samuel when he told King Saul this in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." So David's fancy cedar home likely made him feel important as a king before God. But when David offered to build out of his own intention, God did not want what he offered, as we will see later on. So God's intentions do not equals to good intentions, rather, good intentions do not equal to God's intentions. So in Psalm 51, verse 7, it says, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart God will not despise. So no matter how noble our intentions, even as David's intention to build God a temple are, what we want to do must be done God's way. God, as we have sung just now, is a holy God. And when we do not comply with His way, we are not treating Him as holy. Amen? But if you offer to sacrifice after seeking God's will and with a humble heart, you come before the Lord, God will gladly bless your offerings to Him. So don't get me wrong, God is not angry with David for his intention to build him a temple. In fact, God was very pleased with David, as we will see later on, but it was not God's intention that David is the one who built him that temple. And later on, we will see that it is supposed to be Solomon to build him the temple. So if you forget everything that I shared to you this morning, remember this diagram, the next slide. When God blesses, it will spur us to obey Him. And when we obey Him, God will bless us some more. So this is what I call the cycle of blessing, or the cycle of obedience. So blessing results in our obedience to God. And when we obey God, God will continue to bless us. So blessing results in obedience. Obedience results in blessing. And we have seen this many times, even in our church. When we obey the Lord blesses. And when the Lord blesses, we obey Him some more, and the blessing keeps flowing back to us. Amen? So this is a very significant diagram, and I hope that even if you forget all my sermon, remember this diagram, yeah? So blessing results in obedience. Obedience results in blessing. So let's move on. Then, when David was supposed to build the temple, God intervened. And at night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built a house of cedar?'" Yeah, so it was really something which the intention of David to build was not directed by God. Yeah, so we read further in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8 and 9. "Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth." And verse 10, it says, "And I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies." So the first point which I mentioned just now is pursue obedience, not sacrifice. Now we move on to the second point, which is position for God's will. Even as Nathan relayed to David what God has spoken to him in a dream, this is something which David wants to position himself for God's will. And this is my prayer for each one of us, that we position ourselves for God's will. So in summary of this portion of Scripture, you have presence, promotion, provision. So in verses 4 to 7, God binds His very self to His people. He makes His dwelling, or He tabernacles amongst them. And the second one, promotion. So God, through Nathan, reminded David that God took David from the sheepfold to be a victorious shepherd king over His people and made His name great. So this is the promotion from God. And last but not least, provision from Him. In verses 10 to 11, God provided a place and a home for His people Israel. He provided protection and rest for them by appointing leaders over them. So presence, promotion, provision. So the golden question now is, why didn't God allow David to build him a temple? And the answer is in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 8 to 9. But this word of the Lord came to me, you have shed much blood and have fought many wars. You are not to build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. But you will have a son who will be a man of peace and rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies on every side. His name will be Solomon, and I will grant Israel peace and quiet during his reign. So, although God did not allow David to build the temple because he is a man of war and there's blood on his hands, nevertheless, God commended David and blessed David's intention. And in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 17 to 19, when the temple was being consecrated and dedicated by King Solomon, this is what King Solomon has to say about David. In verse 17, my father David had it in his heart to build a temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, you did well to have it in your heart to build a temple for my name. Nevertheless, you are not the one to build the temple, but your son, your own flesh and blood, he is the one who will build the temple for my name. So, my dear friends, sometimes we may have an intention to do something for God. Sometimes we may think that, oh, I am the anointed one. I am the successor of this church or whatever. And if you don't get your way, do you go away from this place angry? Do you go away from this place bitter? Or do you align yourself to God's will? Is it God's will that you are the next senior pastor? Is it God's will that you are called to be a pastor? Is it God's will that you are a leader in this church? So whatever your intentions, as good as it may be, is it aligned with God's will for your life? Amen. So even as God did not allow David to build a temple for him, did David went away sulking and went into the internet, Instagram, and post whatever, you know, and have an angry spirit, you know, the kind of thing. Hey, why God, I want to build your temple, so you don't want to, you know. But the posture of David was in the 40 years leading to the building of the temple by his son Solomon. What did David do? David, if you listen to yesterday's sermon by Pastor Wayan, in the 40 years, David accumulated gold, silver, bronze, cedar wood, stones, and he also appointed all the woodcutters, the masonries, the singers, the worshippers, in preparation for the building of the temple. So David dedicated 40 years of his life to prepare for the building of the temple for his son. So even if we are not in the limelight, we are not in the forefront, we are like the ushers in the building. We are like the traffic warden at the B1 car park. Although we may not be very prominent, but each one of us is significant in the house of the Lord. Amen. We have a part to play even as we come and worship in this place. May we all come together as one because we are all living stones, even in this building of God. Amen. So what is the key lessons for us from this passage? God looks at our heart intention and will still bless our misguided attempts like David to serve him. Number two, God loves to tabernacle or dwell amongst his people. Promotion comes from the Lord. He prepares and empowers us to serve him. When he appoints, he also provides and protects. We just need to rest in him. So even as I prepared these key lessons, and even as I look at the life of David, and I reflected even in my own life. You see, just now when we were looking at presence, promotion, provision, the middle part, the promotion part, God took David from the sheepfold to be a victorious shepherd king over his people and made his name great. And after that, he provided. And when I reflected on my own life, this is my journey even with the Lord. So 22 years ago, I came to SIB KL. Before that, I was working in a bank. So if you see this slide, what happens in the spiritual was reflected in the natural. Can you scroll to the next? This slide. So even in my journey in SIB KL, when I was appointed a cell leader in the spiritual realm, in the physical realm, I was promoted to be a manager. Then when I was appointed zone leader, I was promoted as an assistant vice president in the bank. Then when I was a sub-district leader, I was promoted to a vice president in the bank. And after that, I did not enter into pastoralship yet. I was promoted to executive vice president, and therefore, you see the arrow pointing the other way. And after that, I answered God's calling to be a pastor. Because the Lord was telling me, you have already reached the pinnacle of your career. What more do you want? Aplagi mau, you know? So I gave it all up and came to be a full-time pastor. And the next slide, you will see this ancient sticker for the newcomers. So previously, when you are a newcomer to the church, you don't get the fancy bag that you get now or the mug. Now, you just get a sticker and they stick it on you. You're a visitor. So this is still in my Bible. You can see the date there, 1701. So I came to SIB KL in 2001. And 17 years later, I came on board full-time. And this is Pastor Chiu praying for me at the Mid-Year Leaders Review in 2018. So this is my journey. And when we position ourselves to do God's will, I don't know what your journey is going to be, but even as I prepare this, the Lord reminded me of the story that Pastor Chiu shared with us, that both Pastor Chiu and Pastor Li Chiu, many years ago, they wanted to migrate to Australia, and there was an open door for them, and lucrative jobs were waiting for them in Australia. But when they pray to God, and when they wrestle with God, God asked them to stay on in KL. And that is how SIB KL was birthed. Amen? So the peace of God always overrides open doors. So sometimes you pray and there's an open door, but is it aligned to God's will for you? So our prayer should always be, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Amen? Yeah, so that is my journey. I don't know about you, but God has a journey for each one of us, even in our spiritual walk with Him. Amen? So we have covered pursue obedience, not sacrifice, position for God's will, and let's look at the promise of God to David and to us. So this is a very significant portion in 2 Samuel 7, and it is popularly known as the Davidic covenant. So let's go. The Lord declares to you that the Lord Himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish His kingdom. He's the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of His kingdom forever. Verse 14, I will be His father, and He will be my son. When He does wrong, I will punish Him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken from Him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. So even as we have read this passage of scripture, which popularly is known as the Davidic covenant, we know that God is the God of the I wills. So these are the seven I wills that God has spoken through the prophet Nathan. I will establish a house or a dynasty for you. I will raise up your offspring to succeed you. I will establish His kingdom. I will establish the throne of His kingdom forever. I will be His father, and He will be my son. I will discipline Him when He does wrong. I will never take my love away from Him. Amen. Just now at the second service, after the service, there was a sister who came up to me. She's a pre-believer. And when this portion of scripture was being preached by me at the second service, she was very fearful of point number 6. I will discipline him when he does wrong. So this sister said, Pastor, I want to be a Christian, but I'm very fearful. Because God is such an awesome God. After He punished me when I do wrong. So I told her, Sister, your punishment has already been done when Jesus took your punishment on the cross. So after much sharing and persuasion, I led this sister to Christ, and she accepted Christ at the second service. So if you belong to the category of people who fear God, that I do wrong and God will punish me, know that Jesus had took your punishment on the cross. And although He disciplined you, just like as a father, when my children misbehave, I also discipline them, but I love them still the same. And that is the same for our Father God. Amen? So if you are a pre-believer in this place afterwards, I would want you to really consider receiving Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. Amen? Yeah, so this is the God of the I wills. So each of these great promises under the Davidic covenant was partially fulfilled in Solomon, David's son and successor to his throne. So Solomon ruled on David's throne. God's mercy never departed from Solomon, although he sinned, and Solomon built a magnificent temple for God. But more than the magnificent temple that Solomon built for God, the prophets of old foretold even a greater fulfillment of these Davidic covenant or these promises. So we read in Jeremiah 23, verse 5 to 6, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be safe, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. So the Davidic covenant is an unconditional covenant in that God will fulfill every word that He has spoken, irrespective of whether we played our part in it. So He has preserved David's lineage even through the generations until the fullness of time, when the archangel Gabriel declared to the Virgin Mary that she will conceive a child not through Joseph, but by the Holy Spirit. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 31 to 33, it says, "You, Mary, will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Amen. And we have seen the fulfillment of this even as we celebrate Christmas. This is the fulfillment of this prophecy, of this promise that God gave to David. So what is so significant about 2 Samuel chapter 7? So in this diagram, you will see that actually 2 Samuel chapter 7 is the key to unlocking the entire storyline of the Bible. So it starts with the promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, the messianic kingdom which brings blessings to all nations. So it is through Abraham that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And it moves on to the promise of Messiah. So we have many prophecies on this in Psalms 272, 132, 145, and even the prophets of old, prophets Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Zechariah, they prophesy of the promised Messiah to come. And it even goes beyond that to a future time yet to come, but we believe that it will be coming soon, to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, where the future King will rule and reign for 1,000 years on earth. And this is what we call the millennial reign of Christ. And this is what 2 Samuel 7 is all about. It points us to the promised King. And the key verse here is 11b, "The Lord Himself will establish a house for you." So it started with David wanting to build a house for God. And in turn, God said to David, "I will be the one to build that house for you." So even as you look at this diagram, we are all spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham, and we are also spiritual sons and daughters of David. And because of that, we are joined as with Christ according to this promise. Amen. So even as we put ourselves and we trust in the Lord, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29, we read, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Amen. And it goes on further in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, "As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." SIBKL, we are all living stones being built into a spiritual house that God has been doing for the past 30 years. Amen. So tell your neighbor, "I am a living stone. I am being built by God in SIBKL Hallelujah. So if you look at this, SIBKL is built by God for you and me. It is not Pastor Chu's church. It is not Pastor Lee Chu's church. It is not Pastor Isaac's church. It is God's church, built by God for all of us. So let us, in these 30 years of God's faithfulness, SIBKL was established in 1994 with just 15 people, 1-5. And through time, God has blessed us. Now we have a main service in two locations, Bangunan Yin and SMCC, and we have three church plants, Life Gen, Sungai Buloh, and Water. And after 30 years, in 2024, we have close to 6,000 people, even in the church plants, in the main church, including the children. Let's give God a wonderful clap offering. Amen. Hallelujah. So even as God has built SIBKL for each one of us, let us not neglect the meeting and the gathering of people together. It is well and good if you are following us online, but we do hope and pray that we will see you one day in church, yeah? So there are people who have yet to come back to church, yeah? So let's encourage them to come back. Okay, so let's review the points that we have covered so far. Number one, pursue obedience, not sacrifice. Number two, position for God's will. Let us align to God's will. Number three, promise of God to David and us. And number four, posture of gratefulness and rest. So let's read on in 2 Samuel 7. Sorry, today, because this chapter is so significant, I wanted to like maybe summarize some of the verses, but the Holy Spirit just deposited in my heart, this chapter is so significant that I want to read every verse in this chapter. Is that okay with you? Yeah? So let's read 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, Sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far?" And as if this were not enough in your sight, Sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant, and this decree, Sovereign Lord, is for a mere human. What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, Sovereign Lord, for the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant. So the correct posture when we stand before the Ark of the Covenant or when we are in God's presence is either to kneel and bow down or to stand before the Ark of the Covenant. But in this case, the next slide, King David went in and sat before the Lord. So he was resting on the promises of God to David. So when you are in a position of rest, you will be seated down, yeah? So like right now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father because he has finished or accomplished everything that God has sent him out to do. So in this case, when David came before the Ark of Covenant, he rested on the promises of God, and that's why he sat before the Lord. So there is this spirit of restedness in him that every word that the Lord has spoken, he will do it. Yeah. So let's move on again in 2 Samuel chapter 7, 22. How great you are, Sovereign Lord. There is no one like you, and there is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. And who is like your people, Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself and to make a name for himself and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods from before your people whom you redeemed from Egypt. You have established your people Israel as your very own forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. So the posture that David, when he went into before the Ark of the Covenant, the next slide is, how great you are, Sovereign Lord. And even for us, when we enter into the presence of God, you know you are in the will of God when you know you are in covenant with God. And all of us, as Christians, we are in covenant with God. And God is a covenant-keeping God. And every word that He says, He will fulfill it. Amen? So this is the God that we serve. And the last portion of 2 Samuel chapter 7, and now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you promise, so that your name will be great forever. Then people will say, the Lord Almighty is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established in your sight. Lord Almighty, God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you. So your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. Sovereign Lord, you are God. Your covenant is trustworthy, and you have promised these good things to your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, Sovereign Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forever. Amen. So this was David's foundation of faith. He knew that the Sovereign Lord, He is God, and that every word of His is true. And he knew that God can be trusted. So let's read this again out loud. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 27. Are you ready? Let's read this loud and clear. 1, 2, 3. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, Lord, have blessed it, and it will be blessed forever. One more time, very big, leh. Yeah? Let's say this loudly with all your might, okay? 1, 2, 3. Now, you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, that they may continue forever in your sight. For you, Lord, have blessed it, and it will be blessed forever. Amen. This is our prayer for SIBKL. God has been faithful to this church for 30 years. And can I have the worship team on stage? And even as we look to God to continue to bless SIBKL corporately and individually in our lives, the next slide, save this date, 7th of July 2024, we are going to celebrate 30 years of God's faithfulness in SIBKL. It will be in Sungai Wang Plaza, Mega Star Arena. There'll be two services, and we will give you more details even as we approach 7-7. So as I've mentioned earlier, what defines us in SIBKL is not the house that we are building for God, but rather this house, SIBKL, that the Lord has given us and entrusted to us to steward and to nurture and to shepherd for generations to come. Amen. This is our church. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, it says, but Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are His house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. And at the 25th anniversary, Pastor Chu prophesied Haggai chapter 2, verse 9 over the church, that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. And I like this version, the Message version, which says, this temple is going to end up far better than it started out. a glorious beginning, but an even more glorious finish. A place in which I will hand out wholeness and holiness. And this is the decree of God of the angel armies. At one of our pastoral retreats, a question was being asked. Even as we celebrate 30 years of God's faithfulness in SIBKL and we transit to the next leadership, how do we measure success? How do we measure successful transition? And deep in my heart, it is this diagram. The diagram that I started off just now, that the blessing of God really causes to be obedient to Him. And if we are obedient to God and continues to be obedient to Him, His blessing will continue to flow in SIBKL. So how do we measure success? To me, I think success will happen when we honor God in this place, that when the pastor say, let's sing our last song, you don't rush off. It's as though, it's time for me to go. That's the cue for me to leave. That is not honoring God at all. You only leave this place when the pastor has said, God bless you, amen, see you again next Sunday. That is your cue to leave. Yeah? Not when the pastor say, let's sing the last song and everybody leaves. That is not honoring to God. So that is one measure of success. When we are in awe of God and we reverence Him in this place. I mean, the previous church that I came from, our worship service is 8:45 a.m. And if you are late, 8:46, the doors are closed. You can't get into worship. We don't do this here in SIBKL. Yeah? Do we reverence God in this place? Yeah? To me, the success of the transition is not how many likes we have in our social media, how many views we have in YouTube, how many people come, but to me, the measure of success is how much do we reverence God in this place. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Let us rise, even as we bring this to a close. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Church, I want you to just repeat this prayer after me. Yeah, let us dedicate ourselves to the Lord, that truly thank God even for these 30 years that God has established SIBKL. Repeat after me. Father God, we thank you for SIBKL. We thank you that you are a covenant-keeping God. We thank you that you have truly built this church and you have given this church to us to steward, to nurture, to shepherd, to love, and be a source of blessing, be a channel of blessing to the people around us. So Lord, for the next 30 years and beyond, may you continue to pour forth your glory in this place, that SIBKL will grow from glory to glory, that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. Because you are in this place. We thank you. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.